Talk about the Super Bowl today? I said, I hadn't planned on it. There we go. We talked about it. Y'all want to move closer? Then I don't have to yell. I don't know. I think the sea chickens and the Patriots. There we go. I don't know if any of y'all are fans. I used to be a Patriots fan. Then Tom Brady left and they stopped winning, so I lost them. You know, so I just stick with real winners, University of Alabama. All right? Enough about me. Let's talk about something else. What are we going to talk about today, Robert? Do you know? This is where you give the good Sunday school answer. God? Yeah. You have your Bibles? No swords? This is the sword, remember? I'm on page 66. That doesn't seem right. This is a weird Bible. I don't think I can walk down there. It's too loud. I'll make noise. I guess on my Bible, they started renumbering the pages when they went to the New Testament. So I'm in Mark chapter 7. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What are those? The Gospels. Those are the four best guys, right? No, that's not how it works. Who said yes? Is that you, Robert?
Yep.
I figured. Mark is the slightly lesser known gospel, in my opinion. You never really hear people go, let's turn to the all-important book of Mark. Why have four gospels? Anybody know? It's real simple. Because people are different. I'm different from Robert. Robert's different from Rick. I'm different from Rick. We're not the same. Our minds don't think the same. We don't see the same thing every time we look at something. We see different things. My mind goes to different places when I hear things than your mind does. So we're going to read a scripture here, and then we're going to kind of try to dissect it a little bit. I'm not a theologian, you know that. I'm not a profound expositor. What do I always call myself, Robert? No, I'm just a farmer. Chapter 7, verse 14. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Version because that's what I have. Chapter 7, Mark, chapter 7, verse 14. After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me. This is Jesus talking. Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. That's pretty groundbreaking, isn't it? What's the biggest thing that probably was culturally going on back then for people? Anybody know? I mean, the Bible is about the life of the Hebrews, right? Didn't the Hebrews have set rules of everything they could do and couldn't do? So culturally, they were, you got to do these things to honor God. And you can't do these things because those things dishonor God, right? So they could only walk so many steps on the Sabbath day before they were considered working. And they can't work on the Sabbath because the Lord commanded, thou shalt not work on the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, right? You can't eat this kind of food. You can't eat this kind of food. You can't drink this. You can't drink that. The do's and do nots, right? Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do that. I mean, the amount of things that they had that they could and couldn't do took up, what, a book and a half, two books in the Old Testament? and then sporadically all over the rest of the Bible. So they had a lot of rules to live by. We call it the law, right? Say yes. This is interactive, remember? So that's a pretty profound statement right there. Jesus says, there is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had left the crowd, we're continuing on here, verse 17. When he had left the crowd, he and entered the house. So they were at someone's house. His disciples questioned him about the parable. So Jesus always taught in parables. Why did he do that? Does anybody know? Well, yeah, it's kind of a story. So Jesus didn't have a nice screen and a PowerPoint and a textbook that he could pass out to everybody and say, okay, everybody look in your textbook, chapter 72 of Hezekiah. There is no book Hezekiah in the Bible. I'm just pulling your leg on that, okay? He didn't say things like that. He didn't say, pull out your manual and turn to page 22 and we're going to learn about this. That's not how he taught people. He taught people in parables, kind of a common speak. Jesus tried to convey things as simple as possible. And we look at these parables sometimes and we're like, that's kind of confusing, don't we? Because we don't really understand what he meant all of the time. We have to dig pretty deep into it. But the people in that day understood what he meant by the parables because they dealt with object lessons. We don't so much do that. We deal with points, subpoints, order, right? It's kind of how our brains work. And that's why I said there's four gospels. Matthew saw things one way. He was a tax collector. He had one viewpoint of how Jesus walked and Jesus interacted with people. Mark had a completely different viewpoint. Luke was a doctor, a well-educated man. John was probably the smartest out of all of them, in my opinion. But they all saw things different ways. Verse 18, they're inside the house. 17 says, they asked him, what did you mean, Jesus? What's that supposed to mean? That is like not what we've been told our entire life. That's not what's written down in the law of Moses, handed down through the ages. God specifically said, don't eat pork. Right? Didn't he tell them that? Verse 18. And Jesus said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and it is eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. So, what was the point of the law that said, don't eat pork? Well, that's what we know. Hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? It's always like that. So, God gave the Israelites these commands because they were too dumb to have refrigeration, because it hadn't been invented yet. So, he protected them from eating foods that would make them sick. He protected them from doing things that would harm their bodies. But Jesus is speaking here specifically towards foods and drinks and things of the physical nature. He says, don't you understand that it's not what goes into your body and into your stomach that makes you unclean? That's just stuff that goes in your stomach and then it is let go. Let's continue reading. And he was saying that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. So the food goes in, and it goes out through the vast system that God created our bodies to do. It's fuel for the body, nothing more. But Jesus brought attention to that which proceeds out of the man, out of the heart of the man, that is what defiles him. Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Bless the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, God, show us something that we didn't know before. God, allow us to see into your vision for our life. God, speak to our hearts and to our minds so that we may become closer to you and more glorifying to you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. So, I've always wondered, why do people get hung up on things that in the end really don't matter? And you're probably going to say, what are you talking about, Gary? What are you fixing to say? Well, I'm not specifically saying any one thing. I'm just talking about things in general that probably in the end don't really matter. Because the Bible is very clear. God says, actually Jesus said, there are three really important commandments, aren't there? What is it? What are they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. What was the third one? Make sure you follow all the rules. Was there just the two? Everything else will be handled by those two, right? Yeah, it's kind of a trick question. I was trying to trick y'all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Against those two things, there's no law. And those two things will cover everything else. Didn't say, don't walk 502 steps on Sunday. It said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. So is God going to send a bolt of lightning down from heaven if you walk 503 steps on Sunday? No. We know he's not going to do that. Where does God look? Here. God looks at the being of the man. The soul, the heart, the mind. The thing that makes us different from apes, dogs, cats, squirrels, besides opposable thumbs. We're different. And all of us are different within that category. But we have something in common that no one can take away. And that's a spot that is only in your life for God. Everyone has that because God put it there. Not everybody realizes it before it's too late. But everyone has that spot that the Spirit of God longs to fill. I think Mark wrote this down in such a clear fashion here. I really don't understand why people question this stuff. You've got our brothers and sisters that believe in Islam that say that God told them, do all these things and you're going to go to heaven. You got our brothers and sisters in different Christian faiths. I use that term loosely right there. That say, if you do this and you do this and you do this, you're lined up with God. You talk this way, you walk this way, you eat this way, you wear these clothes, then you're doing what God told you to do. Missing the point. That's so far off from the simple truth of what Jesus says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Nothing you do, nothing you say, nothing you try to do, nothing you endeavor in your life will get you to the point at which Jesus says, I'm going to cover you. That's not what does it. We all know that. But how do so many people miss that? Is it because we tend to complicate things? Is it because we are uneducated? Is it because we think that there's no way that God can love me in order to let me into heaven and have eternal life with him? Why do we miss the point? Why do we overcomplicate what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. There's only one way. Buddha says there's a different way to get to everlasting life. Allah says there's a way to get to everlasting life other than Jesus. Hare Krishna says there's a way to get to everlasting life. Joseph Smith said there was a way to get another way to get to everlasting life. All of those religions, they all talk about the other paths to get to everlasting life. Jesus is the only one that said, nothing you can do will suffice. Nothing you can accomplish will make you holy. Nothing you, Gary, can do will get you into my presence. In fact, it's the very opposite. It's the emptying of yourself and realizing, it's not what I can do, it's what Jesus did for me. Right? Raise your hand if you believe that today. That's pretty much everybody. We can go home. That's a joke. I got to stretch it out. I can't save you. You can't save me. I'm preaching to the choir about that. But it goes to the point of what he's saying right here. Jesus said, do you not understand what I just said? Seems like I say that whenever I preach. Did we not just understand what he just said? Nothing that goes into the body from the outside can defile the man. Eat all the pulled pork sandwiches you want. Cover it up with barbecue sauce. Eat those ribs. Partake of it all. Doesn't matter. It's not the food. It's your heart. It's your mind. I'm going to say this, and I'm only going to touch on it for just a second. And then we're going to skip because some people will have questions and I'm not qualified to answer them. Okay? What does that mean, Gary? It means you can eat and drink what you want. It's just food. It's just drinking. Hydrating the body. But if you eat or drink anything and you're not doing it to glorify God, you might have a problem with God. He might say, why'd you do that? Why'd you eat 7 pounds of ribs? That's not healthy. That will make you fat. That might give you a heart attack. It might cause your cholesterol to go up. So, I'm not saying the things that you do don't have consequences. But what I am saying is that Jesus said, that's not what makes you unclean. What makes you unclean is what you do on the inside and comes out of you. Do you say things that are evil? Do you sometimes get to the point that you let your anger get the best of you? Do you sometimes get to the point where you don't care about those around you and you just do what you feel like doing? There's more to a man than what he eats or drinks. There's more to a man than what clothes he wears. There's more to a man than what kind of car he drives. These are all things you know. But are these things that we actually apply in our life? Because what if through that door right there came the nastiest looking, smelliest man that had the dirtiest clothes that we could possibly imagine? And he said, help me. Some of us would be like, whoa, he's asking you to help him. Some of us would be like, dude, let me call the place where we can get you down and get you a shower, some new clothes, and maybe something to eat, and then we can bring you back up here next Sunday, and we'll tell you all about Jesus. Some of us would be like, I'll find you some help. Some of us might even be like, do you have anywhere to live? I've got a place for you. What did Jesus say about people? Another parable in another gospel says, as much as you've done it to the very least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. And as much as you haven't done it to the very least of my brethren, you haven't done it unto me. That cuts. That cuts deep. Because in our minds, in our existence, we don't like to live outside of our box, do we? I'm just being honest with you. Most of us, if not all of us, can only go so far. And I'm right there with you. But Jesus calls us to be what he would be and what he did on the cross. And that's hard for us to hear. It's even harder for us to really think about, how would I do that? God, how am I going to get to the point where I would lay down my life for someone that doesn't love me? I'm not telling you got to go out there and walk in front of a car or into a burning building. You got to do what God calls you to do. But I think that God has asked us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I love myself enough to keep myself out of harm's way and to keep myself from dying and not go in burning buildings and not be in a burning building. So if I'm able, I think God has called me to help those who can't help themselves. God has called me to be his hand. Not that I'm supposed to say, I'm the hand of God and I'm here to wield it. That's not how that works. But God has called me to honor him and to give of myself, because that's what God has done for us. It's not the food. It's not the drink. It's not the car. It's not the clothes. It's not the status that defines the man. It's what's in the heart. It's what God lives through you. It's what God blesses you with. And you give it all to God. Do we truly do that? Do we give God everything that we have? I don't think we do. And I'm talking about myself. There are things that I hold back from God. And daily, undoubtedly, something is going to remind me, Gary, there's this little part of your life right here, right there in the corner. Yeah, you didn't give me that today. So tomorrow, I'm going to ask you again to give me that. Hopefully you'll remember that everything you have is because it's from me. Hopefully you won't live life self-centeredly. Hopefully you won't live life abandoning what I've done for you. Hopefully you will be the child that I've called you to be. You will love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you'll love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Hello? Are you there? Some of that cuts, doesn't it? I always wonder why God had to make us the way he made us. Do you ever think about this? God, why didn't you just make me, well, for lack of a better term, exactly how you wanted me to be, and not give me all the options of the things to do that you didn't want me to do? It would have been a lot easier on me if you would have just made me the way you wanted me to be, and I fulfilled the purpose you wanted me to fulfill, and that's all I ever did. So if you wanted me to be a bricklayer on the streets of gold, why didn't you just make me a bricklayer for the streets of gold, and I would have done what you wanted me to do, and I wouldn't have done any of the bad stuff that I've done or been messed up or, you know, done any of that other junk. Why, God? Why? So why did God give us this life? Why did God allow us to be imperfect only to struggle to find the perfection that he's called us to be to at any given point in our life? Why? Why has God done that to us? Any ideas? Is it because he has a sense of humor? Is it because he just wants to see how things work? Is he like a giant inventor up there going, let me try this one. Let me try this one. No. God allows us to be the way we are because he doesn't want blind faith. He doesn't want an obedience because he is God. He already has that. All of creation obeys him. He wanted us to obey him because we love him. And the only way he could do that was to give somebody the capability to not love him. Because then they choose to love him. They're not forced. Right? And that's why we have the little devil and the little angel, right? Do this. No, do this. Do this. No, do this. If our life is focused on Jesus, if he's the aim that we're going towards, His voice is louder. His presence is more commanding. If we truly strive after His commandments, it will overshadow the work of the father of lies. It'll overshadow that part of your life that's going to say, do this, it feels better. Do this, it tastes better. Do this, it doesn't matter what God says. You agree? That's just the farmer's approach. You know, I'm simple. I could literally eat any kind of meat and some vegetables any day of the week and twice on Sunday, and it's not going to bother me. But why do we think that the things that we do in this world that are meant to sustain our physicality really, let me say this carefully, really matter about the salvation that we have? That's not what that is. I'm not saying it can't hurt your witness or it can't, you know, cause a problem for you, because like I said, actions have consequences. But we have to focus on the things that matter. We have to focus on Jesus. We have to focus on our life inside. If we get our heart clean and we make an effort, a striving effort, to live for Jesus and nothing else, all the rest of the stuff is probably going to clean itself up to whatever He wants us to do. It's not going to matter. And I really think that's what He was getting at. He wasn't saying that all things are permissible. He was really saying all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable, right? I think Paul says that later on in the New Testament. You can do whatever you want to do. Doesn't mean it's not going to cost you something. But that's not what we're here about. We're here about the call of God on your life, not whether or not you eat a pulled pork sandwich. Feed the machine. Fuel up. And then get about the Lord's business. Loving one another as you love yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Because if you really love God, as much as you're saying you love God, chances are you're not going to do some things that are not good for you. You're not going to eat 7 pounds of barbecue, Gary, because that's not good for you. Would God eat 7 pounds of barbecue? I don't know. No, He wouldn't do it. I don't really have an answer for life. If I did, I don't know what would happen. Maybe Jesus would come back. All I can do is live day to day, and all I'm blessed with is the opportunity to love God with all my heart and love my neighbor. Some neighbors require more love than others. Some neighbors get a different kind of love, right? A tough love. But I should love them. I shouldn't do things to spite them. I shouldn't do things to dishonor God. Because that's who I'm really trying to please. Trying to please God, I don't try to please men. And if God calls me to work in the ditches, then that's where I got to work. If God calls me to go to the mountains, then that's where I go. If God calls me to go to the Amazon, You go fishing on a boat down the Amazon River to catch these fish and show these people in the Amazon that this is how you catch these fish, not the way y'all have been doing it. You use rods and reels. That's a joke. God tells me to do that stuff, then I got to do what God tells me to do. Amen? Phil, you got anything? That's where you're supposed to come up with something, Phil. Wow, look at that. I didn't preach an hour. Are y'all with me? Well, that's good. I didn't want to be by myself. Well, let's pray. I don't have any texts here that say stretch it out or anything like that. We'll pray. We'll focus on what God has for our life. And then don't get up and leave right after we pray. I got to ask a question. All right? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word, God, that you are fairly clear, God, that it's our heart that you're after, not our stomachs. God, it is our mind that you desire. It is our soul, our devotion that you want. Not for us just to idly obey you, God, but to put our heart in front and allow you to move it, God, in the direction you want to go. Not because you said don't eat something or don't drink something, but because we should love you enough to give you our very life and everything that's in it. I pray, God, that each and every person that was not here today, and God, that normally is here, that you shape their heart today, God, so that they know that you love them, that you care for them, that you are for them more than anything else in the world. And I pray that all of your children, God, will turn to you. God, will exalt your name above every other name. Will show the world your love, your grace, your plan for our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.